my young son, know that my love for you is not less than my love for your brother. I understand you both. I know you are repentant and have suffered from your bad judgment and misdeeds and wish to make amends. In working and living with the servants, it working and living with servants will make you feel you are atoning for your sins. So be it. We do need to help your brother understand that you are making amends. His sense of justice is very full right now. My son, know that wherever you choose to live, my love follows you. Should you need anything, you need only turn to me. Even slightly, and my help will be there. And you're right, the farm is not your inheritance. Your inheritance is so much grander, and you are worthy of that. So I, as the mother, it breaks my heart to have my baby back and then see him leave the house again. I hope, I know in time, life will soften up my older son's heart. I've seen how happy he felt when he's gone to look for a sheep that's wandered off lost and found it. Perhaps when he's come to that place about his brother, as we have, he will forgive him. But his mind and heart have to be open to finding that lost sheep. In time, perhaps he just might want to bring the lost sheep back. And that's not the younger son. Thank you.
Bravo. Woo.
Yes.
You know what? Everything I've heard today is reminding me that you all are not just the writer of the word. You are the speakers of the word. And with the voices that you put on your own creations are just amazing. It's just amazing to me that we are creating in two dimensions, and we have to remember that is part of it, and why audible books have taken off and Kindle has taken off, because people learn in different ways. They don't all learn by seeing, some by hearing, some by touching with the computer. And so that we have to recognize that we are multi-talented and multi-gifted. And I wanted you to see that today. If you didn't see it or feel it, I felt it today.
Thank you, Janice.
I would like to add to that comment, if it's okay, is that your delivery... I've experienced a lot of poets along the way, and the hardest thing that poets have to learn is how to deliver the poem. And that was so good, so good, so excellent. That's the only thing that I, like Janice said, you have that dimension to be able to convey the words of your poem. So I want to thank you, Elizabeth. That's excellent, really, really excellent.
Thank you. Thank you so much. See, this is all scribbles.
It didn't sound like scribbling to us.
I should wear my glasses. I can't. Thank you so much for such generous praise.
I also want to say quickly, I love the delivery. I also love the mother's voice and the mother's wisdom and how the mother's love follows both sons. That really spoke to me.
Thank you. I had a question. The ending, how did that strike you? The ending was perhaps in time, talking about the older son, he just might want to bring the lost sheep back. And that's not the younger son.
I like it.
Okay. It makes sense to you, right, Janice? Great.
I like it because what you're doing is sewing a thread like a quilt. And what you have done is leave it for the person you gave them part of it. So there's an answer here, but it's not that. Don't go for the easy answer. And that was good, because that's the challenge you should give a reader anyway with a poem. It is a mystery to unlock. I really believe that. I used to teach that to my students. I said, you're not supposed to understand poetry the same. Everybody shouldn't understand it the same. It's not meant to be understood exactly like it is. It's supposed to be mystical. It's supposed to be magical. And it's supposed to be something you have to figure out. It's not supposed to be, oh, yeah, I get it. And if you don't get it, fine. That's good, too. That means
Think
that you're
going
to have to try again. And that's the beauty of poetry to me, too, is that it's not simple. It's not an easy thing to write or to read or to understand once you have read it yourself, even.
Thank you all for your comments. I was just feeling the delivery that you had. It was like the face of a lion. It was really, really wonderful that we were able to see each other, although we couldn't all be in the same place. That's one of the things I like about poetry pop-up. You can pop up from different parts of the world and share and inspire each other. Cynthia?
So I get to introduce a poet I really admire and I've admired for years, Honey Novick from Toronto. We first met when she contributed, we crossed paths, she contributed some amazing vegetarian recipe poems to a book I was editing, Poetic Portions, which is available in the Vancouver Public Library and on Amazon. And then she invited me to take part in a project she recently did that she'll tell you a little bit about it. She's also really involved in Friendly Spike Theater, and she's awesome as a performer. So I'm going to hand it over to Honey Novick. I'm so grateful you're here.
Thank you, Cynthia. Thank you so much for that introduction. I've got goosebumps because now I have to live up to those words. Anyway, I just wanted to say greetings from Southern Ontario, a stormy Southern Ontario. It's so wonderful to see your faces and to hear your voices. I'm assuming, Sister C, that you're from America somewhere. And Janice, it's so encouraging to hear you talk about poetry like that. Where were you when I was in school? Anyway.
Well, I also was 10 years in Toronto.
What?
In public health promotion.
Okay.
Including a rap contest among teens to get the words that go to, you know, preventing HIV. But it's too cold up there. I am in Vancouver, between Vancouver and Los Angeles.
Okay. Well, Toronto's loss is BC's gain, I guess. So Cynthia, I would love to see that vegetarian cookbook again. Also, what Cynthia mentioned was one of the publications that we did. I'm artist in residence with the Friendly Spike Theater, and it's an award-winning theater of people. Well, it's everybody is included, but it's primarily for people who have, survived the psychiatric system. And so because I really believe that in order to create a strong society, it just can't be pockets, you know, everybody has to be included. That's how we, you know, that's how we get rid of stigma. Anyway, so that's the project that Cynthia was involved in, and I'm just delighted that you were able to be part of it. I don't know, what else did you ask me to talk about?
Oh, that was the name of that little book that you put out.
Poemdemic?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I coined, you know, during the pandemic, I coined poem and pandemic and gave people an opportunity through the Friendly Spike to think about, you know, how they're coping and to write it, because I believe, you know, that's how we get through stuff, is through our own, you know, relevance, our own resilience, and then together. So I didn't understand there was a prompt, so I just brought a poem that I thought perhaps may be of interest. I hope it's of interest. It's called Silent Listen. Same letters, silent, listen. Equal importance, different meanings, different languages, Silence, the active relative of silent, whose importance is revealed by writers, painters, singers, and other artistic disciplines through listening. How? We are taught that silence is devoid of sound. It is not. Birds' wings beating in flight make a rhythmic melody. We cannot hear it. Yet, if we come close enough, the rhythm would entrance us. There are many melodies unheard, yet they exist. Sonar, underwater songs go fast, slow, deep. What sounds do you believe are out there? How do we write the silent language of the living universe? Perhaps with a certain discipline, we can tune into this language. Sit in a chair with feet flat on the floor. Let the coccyx, the bottom bone of the spine, touch the back of the chair. Make sure the spine is straight. Just listen for a minimum of 30 seconds. This is not a meditation. This is active listening. It is the basis of all art forms. It is how Beethoven was able to compose symphonies while being deaf. It is how some people think themselves into concentration. Writing is not lonely when it is thought of as an action, an act of doing. Yes, we are alone when writing, but this is a form of focusing on deep listening to our own self-expression. This is where we want to go to bring forth and share what we hear. Active listening tunes our ears to focus on silence or sound. Become aware of all that you observe with your ears. Do you live on a busy street with lots of traffic? Does the flow of traffic sound like a symphony getting louder or softer? When the phone rings, does your ear flinch, or can you tell what note it is? What sounds do you hear in your daily life? Does the opening and closing of a drawer draw your attention? What does the sound of running water in the sink or shower mean to you? How does listening to people who speak other languages capture your attention? Often, we describe soundless observations as nothing. Something devoid of sound is not nothing. When we train our ears to hear beyond our expectations, we open a whole new world of wonder. Some people in big cities are aware of the cadences of traffic. In the country, it could be the clatter of birdsong. In stillness, it could be the pulsation of blood flowing through the veins. Active listening is a true exercise. Listening silently is the power of our essence.
My goodness, I can't be silent about that. That was a treatise. I mean, now just to really think about active listening and being quiet, that it's not wasting time. Well, thank you so much for sharing that.
Oh, thank you for inviting me and the honor of meeting everybody that's, you know, we're all connected by a certain government and we're, you know, and by a certain geography, but we're so far apart. And yet here we are together with the miracle called Zoom. It's truly an honor and a special thank you to Cynthia for, you know, having the foresight and generosity to invite me. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time. I know you're 3 hours ahead, so thank you for taking the time to hang out with us.
I just loved your piece, and honey, and it's the whole thing about listening, and that's really where poems begin. There's a rhythm, and also in nature, as we write about nature, sound is the first element for me that comes into it. The sound of the trees, the sound of the birds, but it also leads us to becoming more aware and more sensitive to where we are in the world. And I agree with you, it's not a meditation. It's quite a different. Active listening is being immediately involved in our world, in our surroundings, and hearing others too. It's a practice that is so important in how we relate to others. And so often it's lost. Our world is so noisy, so frenetic. And if we could bring that into our space as we're creating poems, it's the first element, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, sight and visual is too, but I think it begins with sound because poems are music and rhythm. And I loved hearing your voice, everyone's voice today. It's a real treat. Thank you.
Your words mean a lot to me. Thank you. From the part of the world that calls the raven Le Corbeau, thank you. And relative. I mean, family relative.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing, and thank you. I'll never think of ravens in the same way again. Janice, did you share your poem?
No, but I'm going to say Mary Nance should go, and then I'll be last.
You'll close us out. Okay.
I live in the Los Angeles area in California. So this was a couple of weeks ago that I wrote this one. I had a dream last week as I was waking up. I heard my mother telling me, "Get your nose out of that book for at least the millionth time." So many memories came stealing in of Peter asking me, "How do you manage to find something to read no matter where we are?" Reading, always reading. When I was 4, I'd run to get the evening paper first so I could read the funnies. I'd try to read my bedtime story books to me before my mother came to tuck me in. Those memories are clear and strong. Reading, always reading. In my dream, a whisper grows, fills up my mind. "You are a reader, Mary Nance. A reader, a communicator, a teacher, a creator, a wordsmith. Reading, always reading." I had just read what Carolyn Mace had filmed and written about the archetypal patterns in our lives. Some of them apply to me, but I hadn't yet found the reader. I know it must be there. Reading, always reading. The whispering voice continued, saying, "The words you have been reading are the tools I've given you to use, the raw materials, and the finished products. You incubate them, give them birth and life. By reading, always reading. They are both your shield and the pathway to your heart. They are your weapons and your gifts. You can feel and use their power. Do not turn away from that. Reading, always reading."
Wow. I love the way you read and bring us into the story in your poems.
Thank you. This is the first time I've ever done anything like this.
But Mary Nance sends me a poem every day. If it's not one she's read, it's one where she's picked up and given accolades to another writer or poet. I salute you as a reader for sharing the way that you do. Reader and a writer.
Thank you.
Thank you. A very reluctant writer at times.
Okay.
I would like to say there's another lady who knows how to read a poem. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Mary Nance, yes.
Yes.
And now, Miss Janice, have you settled down?
I doubt it. I just doubt it. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Janice Joyce Vogelglass Nathan. I come from Richmond, Illinois. That means there's a state line and it's Wisconsin after that. I stayed there for 21 years, went to college in Illinois, and got in a car and drove with my girlfriend across country and landed in California and said, "I'm home," because the beach is here. The beach is my love. I'm in love with the beach, but the Midwest is kind of like the ocean. Because when you look out of those fields, it just like goes on forever if you really get at the right spot. But I missed the mountains. We had lots of lakes in Illinois where I was, near Lake County. But I found my heart was here. So I became a teacher right away. I had interviewed in Chicago, got the job, didn't have any idea what the heck I was doing, and fell in love with teaching. And I taught for 46 years, retired in 2015, and said, now what the hell am I going to do? Because I'm this kind of person. I have to do bracelets. I have to do praise dancing. I have to, I just have to, but dishes, no thank you. Vacuuming, no thank you. There are certain things I don't have no interest in doing. I have to be doing a craft, a project, something. And that's why I'm in love with Charlotte, because she gave me the first opportunity to be a praise dancer. And what? How old was I, Charlotte? That was a good 20 years ago,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm heading at 77 this year. And so when I was with her, I was a young chicken and I could dance around. But anyway, she gave me that opportunity and I fell in love with that too, the worship of dance and the feelings that you can say nothing with your words, which was I'm the same thing as Mary Nance. I was a reader, in a library, in the room, hiding with a book. I loved books and probably why I became a teacher. So I wrote this back in 2020 in August. And I'm saying that my flash moment is that here in America, I am on fire for Kamala Harris. Mamala Kamala is in my heart. And I am so excited that she has lit a fire under the pants of these people who've been sitting up here. But liar, liar, pants on fire. I'm just really into this. We have been putting up with garbage. And we need to burn it to the ground and start over and be the country we're supposed to be. So in 2020, I wrote a poem, Disrespect. And I put it in a blog. And so that's why I said, friend me on Facebook, because then I can give you my blogs, my website, all those things that we should be sharing together anyway. I do not like the current level of disrespect being brought to the table, perpetrating falsehoods, pretense of intellectual persona, an academic approach with no educational experiences, fiddling a medical prescription from a genie bottle with two wishes already used up, encasing youth in animal traps and abusing their families with a court order, sending innocents to the slaughter, return to a previously escaped regime of terrorized turmoil, the disrespect of talking out of both sides of crooked lips, licked with greed and perversion. Disrespect dies on the steps when you don't allow it to enter your domain. Guard your castle well. Disrespect is looming and roaming. Don't get trapped in smallness. 9:30 a.m., August 4th, 2020, in memoriam of days gone by.
Wow.
I have journals up wazoo in here. So anytime Charlotte says poetry, this looks good. Let me do this one. I write blogs. I am currently editing the 20-chapter fiction romantic suspense novel that I started in 2001, and I then joined the Hay House Writers Community 7-Day Writers Challenge, and in 7 days decided I need to finish that damn book. Excuse me. I curse a little, but I love God. And so I now am in chapter 7, getting told, how did we get here? So my editor keeps asking me, How did we get here? Because I'm ADHD, so I'm hopping around here and there. So I had to learn sequence, people, sequence. So that's my life right now, is going back and forth between trying to untangle what I wrote all those years. But 2020 was really the jump start of getting this book done. And I'm hoping that it hits publication, self-publication this year. So watch for Suzanne's Secret Dance of Denial. And so that's why I want you to be connected on Facebook, because what you have to do is build your network. You have to build your people. And today, you guys, excuse me, I hate that, calling everybody guys. Excuse me, you, sir, and these ladies have just charged me up. So I'm ready for this week to say, chapter 8, you better get out of the house. It's time to get back to the editor and get to work. So I am thrilled to be here as always. Charlotte is an inspiration. I cannot even begin to tell you on how many levels, but I will tell you one thing. Trying to catch Charlotte to talk to her is like trying to catch a butterfly without a net. Don't bother. It's not going to happen. You're not going to catch her. Just wait. And all of a sudden, she'll float in your yard and then zoom out again, and you go, oh, that was Charlotte.
I have to say how much I have appreciated over more than 20 years of Janice dropping in with a prayer, or Janice dropping in with an inspirational word, or we did a series of poem and music things called Jamming with Jesus. And it was inviting musicians who on Sunday get told what the pastor or somebody wants them to play, but not what they wanted to play from their heart. So Janice created dances. She got young people involved, and it really was a wonderful time. And then as that phased out and I came back to Canada, Janice was doing bracelets and just letting art flow through her. And she, too, as a person that has worked intergenerationally and worked a lot with young women to find things of life, find things that are positive, and to include art, singing, writing, dancing, to include it. So thank you so much. I want to thank everyone for coming today. I have, what do you call it, got the domain name, Poetry Pop-Up. I was trying to buy Pop-Up Poetry. It's for sale for $3,000. But I also am looking forward to doing some events with the activities that are coming up where people will come to a place and will do Pop-Up Poetry, and maybe have sponsors where we can give prizes. But the prize today is all of you being here. Thank you, audience, for being with me again. But you know what I say when they ask me what time it is? I say it's always love time, poem time.
Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time. Time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time. Time for poems, poets and singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time. Love time, time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time. Poem time, love time. Love time, poem time. Times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time. Times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Time for poems, poets, singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery.
Starting from the week of Monday, May 30th, the Student Union Building is open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. The sub-building common spaces, along with the bookable spaces, are available for use. Any comments or questions, please go to the Simon Fraser Student Society website at sfss.ca for more information.